Okay, so good morning, everyone. My name's Than Hartsock. I appreciate Ray asking if he'd pronounce it right. Than's not the most common name, especially for a guy from South Central Ohio, but Than is short for Nathaniel, so for future reference. A little bit of background on me. Like I said, come from a grain farm in South Central Ohio. So I'm a Buckeye, undergrad at Ohio State, then did some research work at the University of Kentucky with Dr. Tom Mueller on soil EC. So have some roots in precision ag, and then after my master's degree, joined John Deere in 2001. And really in 2001, at a time where precision ag at Deere was just really starting to come into fruition, we'd formed a new organization focused on precision ag. And yet, as I look back at where we were in 2001 and where we are today, and what I'm going to share with you today, it's exciting to see the progress. I will tell you, though, however, one of the key objectives of my presentation with you today is to give you a sense of how at John Deere, not only we're thinking about precision ag, but also how we're thinking about precision ag and the agronomic links between equipment and specifically equipment technology and the role that the execution has in increasing yields and decreasing costs. So it's an exciting time to be part of the precision ag industry. So to kind of calibrate on the way we think about creating value for crop producers, we talk and think and plan in terms of the crop production system. And for us, the crop production system really is bound or scoped by the jobs or the work that is done by the farmer, by the producer, to produce the crop. And we look at it in terms of the cycle, you know, typically in the Midwest, an annual cycle, but obviously in other production geographies, it could be multiple cycles within a given calendar year. But the steps or the sets of jobs, the groupings of work that a farmer must do to produce the crop are relatively consistent. And just to kind of give you some color on how we think about these, for example, in the preparing the jobs associated with preparing the land to be produced for a given season. And increasingly, we're not just thinking about the machine, which, as you might expect, at John Deere is a large focus, the machine, the picture of the tractor that we've got on the slide. It's a very important component, and whatever tool that machine or that tractor is coupled to is very important, and we focus on reliability and durability and quality. But increasingly, we're also thinking about the job that machine, that tractor and implement are tasked to do, and the outcome that is desired to be achieved with that pass across the field. So, for example, when we talk about preparing, you know, depth. And if you think about something like tillage, and John Deere, our founder, and 180 years ago, you know, his invention was a plow. He optimized the self-scouring plow. But if you think about the progression of technology in plowing from then to today, and you still think about the art of tillage. So how deep and when and how do I process the residue? All of the various inputs or decisions, back to the earlier discussions around decisions, we're thinking about increasingly what is the desired outcome with that tillage tool? What are the right settings? And how do we optimize that pass, for example? And we apply that same logic across every pass across the field. So planting, this is one that's had a lot of attention, but we still see opportunity to optimize. Think about in terms of timing. And I like Dr. Kitchen's perspective on probability, right? So timing and probability of each of these field passes becomes increasingly important. We don't know what the weather will be, but we know what it has been, and we should know. And we should be able to estimate what the likely probability of outcomes is for a given decision. So timing, depth, is another area, and I encourage you, Kevin Armstrong, one of my colleagues here, will be presenting tomorrow, I think at 10:50, on some of the real research we're doing in the field to understand the impact of various planter settings like depth on plant uniformity. And going on across nurturing or protecting, so once the plant has emerged, so as the crop is growing, what are the key characteristics or outcomes that we want to make sure are manage, so we take variability out of the system. Again, timing is very important. The accuracy and the precision by which we're now able to manage crop inputs. So we're increasingly now able to manage at the row level, And we are on a march or on a path to being able to manage at the plant level. And if you think about the agronomic consequences of now being able to manage at the from going from the past level, from field to past to row to plant, there are a lot of opportunities, if you will, research type opportunities that we all need to collectively think about how do we know what to do when and where. Harvesting then as the crop comes out, where the outcomes there that are important are to minimize losses, to ensure high grain quality, so we don't want to damage the crop. There's a big logistics puzzle as well with regard to harvest, which is these big machines that can harvest thousands of bushels per hour, moving that grain away from the crop, away from the field, with a minimal negative impact on the land in which it's being harvested. And then finally, this loop, this cycle, feeds back in, and it happens hourly, it happens daily, it happens monthly, and it happens annually, this planning, analyze cycle. So, given that construct of the crop production system, we think in terms of our role in being kind of in the value we want to create for the industry in really three buckets. And so, first on the left is probably the one that's most obvious and most intuitive. We see precision ag as giving us an opportunity to create better machines and drive better machine performance. So imagine, as Sam referenced in the opening discussion, connectivity. Since 2011, 2012, we at John Deere have been shipping, building and shipping our large ag machines like the tractor and the combines and the sprayers you see in my pictures. They've been shipped with basically 2G, now 3G, and now 4G modems connecting them to a cloud. So that data available to the farmer to make better decisions, and also the farmer, if so choosing, he or she can share that data with others to improve the performance. If he or she chooses to share with the dealer, you can imagine now John Deere dealer having connectivity to that machine, and again, at the customer's permission, being able to provide a much more well-supported, well-optimized machine. The better job performance in the middle, this is what I started off talking about, where we're not only thinking about the machine, but the work that the machine is expected to do and the outcome that it's expected to achieve every pass across the field. And then finally, better agronomic decisions. And this is one where we see our role as largely as an enabler. So through the connectivity that we have in our large ag fleet of machines and the ability to execute precisely variable rate prescriptions, for example, that many in industry and even our discussions today are referencing, we want to make sure that we're enabling the experts in data science and agronomic recommendations and input recommendations, making it easy. If the farmer so chooses to share data, we want to make it easy for that farmer to share data with the trusted advisor that is creating that recommendation. So now I want to focus specifically on the middle tier, the middle column there, better job performance. And I'm going to give you a sense of some of the tools and the way we're thinking about optimizing jobs. And as we look back, this is one of my favorite pictures in precision ag, and maybe when you see this picture, you don't think about precision ag in the traditional sense of variable rate management and yield mapping. But when I see this, I see one of the successes and the real value propositions that farmers have realized in precision ag, which is the precise application of inputs. And so to achieve an outcome like you see here, where this is kind of an oblong shaped field, we call those the point rows, right? The point rows where the main passes come out into the headlands or the end rows. And you see that the corn planter shut off row by row by row as it entered the turn rows. This is a simple one, right? But it no waste, right? So no waste of seed, no negative yield impact of doubling up. And the other technology that allows for this type of precision is RTK GPS guidance, right? So the ability now to push a button on the machine and it steers itself. Both the machine and, increasingly, technology now allowing us to steer the implement precisely within an inch or two. And so that kind of foundational capability in precision allowed us to take this first step. And by the way, I didn't mention the overarching value prop, which actually just makes the farmer's life easier. Right, the operator that has that technology comes out of the machine at 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock at night feeling a lot better than had he or she had to have been following a markered line. This is foundational now. Imagine the precision, and the question is now, what do we do with that level of precision capability now that we can place seed and we can place inputs down to the inch? Now the question is, well, then what should we do? Right, now that we have that capability, what should we do with the precision? How close is close enough with regard to a nutrient band, but not too close? How deep is deep enough, but not too deep? And those are the types of agronomic problems that we're thinking about with regard to execution. We're also spending a lot of time, and again, to point you back to Kevin's presentation tomorrow at 10:50, Kevin Armstrong, if you want to look it up, he'll go deep into some of the research we're doing on plant-to-plant and row-to-row variability. And the reality is, to our human eye, and I go to Dr. Kitchen's view of the scientist's view and then the farmer's view. To the farmer's view, this variability doesn't exist, right? And oftentimes, to the naked, and even to the scientist's naked eye view, these corn plants look about the same, right? How often do we see a treatment, maybe a starter fertilizer treatment or a nitrogen application treatment, and we say, gosh, I see streaks there, but they'll even out. You know what? They evened out because our ability to see the difference likely disappears in a plant that's 10 or 12 or 14 feet tall. But when we go out and do the really hard and painful work, and if we've got grad students in here, I've been there, and we hand harvest ears, like you see in this, from row to row and plant to plant, we actually see huge variability. And what we want to try to understand, and what I invite you all as researchers to help us understand, is what drives this variability from ear to ear and from row to row. And then our role, getting back to the better outcomes and better job execution, is we want to make sure that we're building equipment and technology that does its part to make sure that we've got ears that look consistent, in this case in corn, from plant to plant to plant. We want to make sure from row to row that that planter, that nutrient application bar, that sprayer is doing the job that the farmer, quite honestly, expects it to do. And so finally, with an image here to just kind of drive home that execution matters. And again, when we look at increasing precision, increasing ability to manage at the row and plant level, we want to be able to try to minimize these types of things that today, quite frankly, are difficult to manage, right? So we look at residue and high corn after corn systems, and we say, how can we make sure next time that corn plant isn't disadvantaged on its ability to emerge and have access to water and nutrients and have a successful chance of putting on a high-yield ear? I think this is a picture I've got it cited down there from Missouri, but also, when we think about execution and nutrients, we look for ways to just take variability out of the job. So in this case, and I don't know the specifics behind this story, but we all get in planes and we fly enough that we see streaks like this in fields, right? And I think my kind of heuristic or general rule of thumb is anytime I see a straight line in a field, there's a good chance that a human created it, right? And at John Deere, when we think about better execution, if we see straight lines that weren't intended, like was likely in the case here, then we want to take the variability out of that because we think driving uniformity is a clear path to higher yields and higher productivity. So, again, this is an area where we're spending a lot of time. We want to understand what is the cost or the impact of variability that gets induced by humans or by machines and technology today in today's system. And once we understand the costs, then we can design technology, precision ag technology, to take the variability out of the systems and drive more uniformity. So some examples of tools. So those are some of the problems or opportunity areas, problem statements, if you will, that we're trying to attack. And some of the technology we've already got in place in the market today to address some of these types of problems is we're increasingly, like I said, connecting machines, and we're presenting information and insights to the operator in the cab as the operator is making subsequent passes. So if you haven't had a chance to ride in a commercial with a commercial producer and a large piece of equipment recently, if you haven't had a chance, this is what often you will see. And this may actually be a more conservative view, because it's not uncommon to see not just the two John Deere displays that you see on the left and the iPad that you see on the right, but also another iPad or Android device and maybe another display and certainly a cell phone. And so there's a lot of information coming at this farmer, but our goal is to assimilate that into actionable information to, again, focus on delivering the desired outcome for the given pass. So go a little bit deeper. This is an example of a planting application that we're looking in this case at the view that's presented to the operator on an iPad. So bring your own device to the cab. The benefit there is the farmer is familiar with the user interface, can keep the technology relatively updated through that consumer device. But we make it easy to view key performance data attributes, not at the planter level, but actually map them at the row level. And so what you're seeing here is, in this case, this planter, I think this is a 16 row, so a 40 foot wide planter traversing through the field. You see that's clicked up on the top right there, seed spacing, coefficient of variation. And as the planter goes through the field in near real time, or real time, being able to actually paint the map, if you will, and show the farmer, hey, how's the planter doing? And are there any trends here spatially as I go through the field that I need to be aware of? Is row 7 always kicking out a problem, whether it's a double or in this case a introducing variability among spacing, such that if I were just watching a traditional planter monitor, technology we've had prior, I may now have seen that spatial pattern and I may not have known to stop and make an adjustment. And that type of analysis can be conducted on several key variables to the planter operation. So in addition to it being streamed, and Sam referenced, this is an example of us streaming it to our John Deere application. We've also opened this up, and also it's available in the Field View application as well. And then the data can also be streamed, in near real time to the web, to the cloud, and viewed in near real time on a web browser type application. So if you're a remote manager, can't be in the field, especially larger farms have multiple planters running simultaneously, very quickly log in and see where is the what work's being done, how successful is it, what outcomes are being achieved, and are there any problems that need to be addressed. So as we think about moving from that in-field execution, so literally I'm the operator sitting in the cab, to now I'm the manager, whether I'm an owner-operator manager or whether I'm an off-tractor, off-machine manager, oftentimes our farmer customers feel like the person there in the middle with the exclamation point on their chest, which is data coming at them from all directions. And so we are trying to provide an integrated solution, if you will, an integrated experience to basically make it easier for the farmer, for the manager, to optimize the operation. And our solution, if you will, our approach is what we call the John Deere Operations Center. Operations Center is visualized here in just a screenshot, and it's essentially a map-based dashboard for the farm. So if I'm the farm manager and I want to know where are my tractors, or where are my combines, where are my sprayers on the map, how much work has been done, how much work remains, and increasingly being able to drill in, like I just showed you, peek into the cab and see in near real time what are the characteristics that are most important to me and how well are they being achieved with regard to the performance in that field. So the screenshot here, I think relatively intuitively, but just to kind of give you a lay of the land, the enterprise task summary, this just says, of all the things I've planned to happen, well, how much, the circle tells me how much is in progress, how much has been done, and how much remains. And basically gives the producer a one-stop shop to manage the farm. But I want to be clear that we don't see just the John Deere Operations Center as being the only platform with regard to how farmers manage their operations and how the industry and researchers add value to data. We see collaboration, back to the earlier presentation, as being critical here. And so we've designed the John Deere Operations Center with an API-centric focus so that we can provide connections to, in the upper left, the John Deere dealer, if the farmer wants to share data with the dealer. Down on the bottom, the connections to the field. And then I think not to miss this, equally important are the connections to partners. Partners like the folks that are presenting, my colleagues presenting with me today, and hopefully partners like you all that seek to add value to the data as we look forward. And now, as an aside, last week I had a chance to attend our fifth annual John Deere Developers Conference, where we had over 500 attendees, about half John Deere dealers, about half industry participants that came to Kansas City to learn about the APIs that are available to them so that they can plug in and connect. And again, if the farmer so chooses to share, add value to the data. Imagery processing, weather alerts, various types of basically value creators through the API. So in summary, we're excited about precision ag at John Deere. It's increasingly a key focus of ours and obviously a key focus in the industry. We see the opportunity to leverage the insights to help deliver a better machine experience. I talked about enabling the better agronomic input decisions, and then first kind of in the forefront for us is to drive better execution through the solutions I described. Thank you.